His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Her name is Sister Victory. Her husband's name is Brother Joseph. Amen. And Brother Joseph is probably pretty famous in the area. I don't know how long you've been doing it. Their three beautiful children are here. Hi, kids.
Amen.
Nice to see you. And Sister Victory is the wife who actually probably initiated all this.
Yes, that's the truth.
You causing all this trouble here. I'm thinking he's dragging you along.
No, it's the other way around.
You know, my mother used to say the woman is the center of the household. And it's the strangest thing in the world. We think the man is with his bravado.
That's right.
But you're right. You're the center of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Your husband is out here. Now, he had a business. We had lots and lots of employees.
Yes.
Very successful in the world.
Very rich.
And now he's sitting here. He's a handsome black guy. Looks like a movie star. But he's got this hair, this fro, which we had back in the 60s. Yeah. He's got this beard. And he looks like a black John the Baptist.
That's right. That's what we get all the time.
Yeah. You get that all the time. So it's not just me. On his shirt says, Jesus is
coming.
And it looks as soon as you see, you know that's the guy with the, what do you call that thing, an RV, the white RV, because it's the same lettering, same stencil.
Amen.
Who would think that a stencil would be a logo, and yet something, man, you could sell those things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you're not interested in selling, now you're interested in selling the Lord.
Amen.
Now, you, Sister Victory, I said that's a different kind of a name.
Yes.
And we'll get to Joseph in just a minute, but you said you heard the voice of the Lord.
Now, I did.
I think this is wonderful. He gave you, so I said, did your parents give you that name? You said, no.
That's right.
The Lord did. So what age were you when you got born again and he gave you this name?
I was 20 years old. I had just turned 20. And the Lord said, Victory, I'm calling you home. I said, he's speaking to me audibly. You know, I heard him all of it audibly.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, Lord. And then he said, you know, you're going to serve me. You're going to leave your life behind and I'm going to give you a brand new life. I said, I had just met my husband. My husband had encouraged me and led me to the Lord because he had a church. He didn't just have his business.
Oh, he led you to the Lord.
He also had churches and everything.
See what you started?
Yes.
You sow into the wind, you reap the whirlwind, right?
Yeah. So he led me to the Lord, and the Lord began to talk to me immediately. Like, the Lord told me, I want you to serve me. You're going to be used by me. This is me turning 20 and my husband.
This is wonderful.
And then next thing you know, I went all out for God. I mean, I gave my life to Jesus. My life changed in a day. And, you know, one day I was driving in my car on my way to work with my husband and, you know, to do the church and stuff with my husband. The Lord said, your name is Victory. I stopped and pulled over. I called my husband. I said, honey, the Lord just said, my name is Victory. He said, I want you to go and change everything, get it, you know, get everything
legal.
Down. Yeah, legal. So I legalized it and everything. And God, I just was telling everybody, my name is Sister Victory, and it stuck. Everybody was like, yeah, you're Victory. Then God was telling me he was going to use me really great and prophesying in my life to using people to say, God going to use me and continue to do what I'm doing. So I was encouraging my husband. I said, honey, the Lord is telling us to leave everything. We got to leave this world, leave this life. We got to really be used by him. My husband said, well, honey, I have everything. You know, I have God. I have everything. What is God saying? So I began to pray and fast, and God began to really cause me to pull my husband out of work and out of, you know, everything of the world, you know, himself, you know.
Did you have a regular house? And you had a regular job?
Yes, we had.
Well,
my husband had many houses.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were that well-to-do?
Yeah.
I'm the boss. I was, in that world, the boss. You know, I wasn't the... I wasn't in.
He worked for himself.
Everybody
and
worked
everything.
For me. In that world, but I don't care about that anymore. That's
you did give it up for the Lord.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
He who gives up for the kingdom of God shall get back a hundredfold in this
Luke
life
18.
And the life to come.
That's right, Luke 18.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
Yeah, that's not
Victory.
Amen.
I almost only invited him in here.
Yes.
Yeah, Victory.
I'm always behind the scenes.
Victory in Jesus. Right. Wow,
yeah,
I'm overwhelmed. And three beautiful children, and their names are, let's see, little, is he Joe too?
Joel.
Joel. Joel, J-O-E-L. Yeah. Then there's who?
Joya.
Joya.
And Joyce.
And Joyce.
And a batch on the way.
And a batch on the way. You don't know what's happening? You're going to be more than one?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly.
Really? The doctor
That's
said
the
that?
Secret.
That's the secret.
You see me around here with two children, just know it's a...
Oh, my
we're
word.
We're sharing it with you and your father.
Well, that's great. Yeah, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you
for being here.
Thank you so much.
So, so you radically get saved. You hear the audible voice of Jesus.
Yes.
Now, he saved first. He
yes.
leads you to the Lord.
Yes.
Then you're saying we got to live for the Lord
yes.
and do other things.
That's right.
Because most people will just be happy just going along, making
yes.
your dough, living in your houses.
Yes.
You're prosperous.
Yeah, that's right.
What state were you in?
Rochester Hills, Michigan.
Rochester, Michigan.
Yes.
Never. I don't think I've been there.
Yeah.
Been
it's
to
a
Rochester,
pretty little
New
nice
York.
Town, small
yeah.
little town, and
yeah.
you know, pretty nice. Yeah.
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 And so. Now, you're younger than him, though.
Yes, I'm 30. I just had a birthday. I'm 30.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, my birthday was May 2nd, and I just turned 30, so I'm out here and walking by faith. This is the life to live.
It's a faith walk.
Yes.
It really is. I think
when God saved me, he really put this just really massive spirit on me. It was so strong, and it was just really to get his kingdom built. The Bible says, as it is in heaven, let it be done on the earth.
Yes.
God was really moving me in a different direction. I had enjoyed the pleasures of, you know, riches with my husband, but God was saying it's more. It don't end here. You have to tell your husband, we have to do more for God.
And I think that's the part that, you know, where the Bible says the harvest is plenty,
yes,
but the laborers are few.
That's right.
And then he said, pray that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest. And oftentimes we think of involving ourselves in the many cares of this world,
yes,
that essentially, we divide ourselves between our life in the world of things that are natural
mm-hmm.
and our ministry. And, you know, that's not what God wanted for me as I began to go further along. And
but
so
honey, you have been doing this already.
Yeah, I had already been on the radio.
He had been a street preacher
Yeah, I had done street preaching. I was already doing street preaching and doing ministerial things. And,
that's right.
You know, evangelism has always been a part of my life.
That's yeah. right.
But this was something well, more.
How did you get saved? What age?
Well, I don't even, I mean, I grew up. You know,
well,
that's the way
parents.
I grew up. You know,
yeah.
I grew up in the church. But I think what happened, Brett, and just kind of pulling it together, you know, a lot of times Christians we're in church, but we still don't have the fullness of what God wants for us in the way of our life, in the way of
yeah.
In the way of things that are of God. And so you can see in many facets where the Bible tells us how we are to live or conduct ourselves, we become complacent and as a church. And so when we look at the lifestyle of those that say that they are Christians, then we'll see that they have literally have fallen out of love with God. You know, they I'm a Christian, and God's even using them. Their ministerial gifts are working. A lot of different capabilities that they have by the Spirit that are active, but they're not as active as they could be because they're dividing themselves between the world. The Bible says you can't love mammon and God at the same time. You're going to love one, hate the other. So you find this division in the person, you know, where they're being pulled between the two. They're like, well, I love God, but also love these things that are, you know, in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And that doesn't necessarily mean anything. The lust of the flesh could be, you know, alcoholism, drug addictions, sexual things, things that are appealing to the flesh,
or
gluttony.
Even our companies.
Our
too.
Companies,
yes.
you know. And,
that's what
and, you
it
know,
was
I've
for
been,
him,
yeah,
his
business.
Massive companies, and, you know, people working for you and, you know, your pride, your
yes.
ego, and your arrogance, you know, and people, you know, giving things away. And you're thinking, wow, this is the pinnacle of what God wants. But when God calls you to do something for him, he has much more in the way of, when you read the book of Acts, how they went out into the highways and the hedges and the byways and compelled them to come in. And then you get the gospel comes back to you, you know, where Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. Unless you turn your life. And you're saying, well, I'm already a Christian. I've repented. And then you learn that. No, repentance is a lifestyle. You're constantly getting closer to God. You're constantly doing what God wants. You're rejecting your life. And you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to live the life that you want, and not the life that I want. And that's a trick that the devil uses for Christians, is he'll trick them with prosperity and things. And as you have to look at and ask yourself, are those things bringing me closer to God? Am I being a light for God in the way that God wants?
Yeah.
You know, you have to learn that your life is not your own, you know, and sometimes we think of it, you know, ourselves as, oh, I want to live my life. And God had to correct me. He said, it's not your life to live.
Yes. Well, Jesus said, why do you work for that which you cannot keep?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. And who was the guy that went down into the Amazon? He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And he got spearheaded through the brain. And then the wife, Elizabeth, it's a famous, have you ever heard of that guy, George Eliot or something, Eliot?
Yeah, yeah.
And the wife went down there, Elizabeth, and I did get to meet Elizabeth, went down the Amazon in the boat and everything, and met the man who killed her husband and led him to the Lord. And then they said when he had killed all those missionaries that they had seen angelic beings in the air around them. But she won the man that killed her husband. But he had said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And Jesus himself, of course, said, why do you work for that which you cannot keep?
That's right.
The Bible,
it's very deception.
Yeah, and so the devil is constantly deceiving people with the things of the world.
Yes.
And that's what people, you know, run after. And so when you realize that that's not what God wants as a believer, of course he's going to take, I'm going to take care of you. He says I'm going to provide for you. So you can't. You can't accuse God of not taking care of you for doing what he wants you to do. Well, God, you're not going to do it. And that will be the constant complaint of someone who God may send out. Well, Lord, are we going to? And then now you learn to trust him. You know, how many people trust God? You know, are you trusting God? Especially in America, it's hard to trust God. You can just, you know, you can trust your lawyer, you can trust your doctor, you can trust, you know, there's so many people to trust. But the last person, you know, the last one we want to trust really is the Lord, you know.
He's the first one I want to trust. Well, I don't trust man.
But
well, remember David said, cursed is the man that maketh man his trust, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust.
Yeah, so in America, we have a lot of trust in man, but we find ourselves imposing our trust in man, you know, enforcing trust in man. You know, you have to do this, you have to trust man. And we say that's for the good, you know, but we don't want to trust God, and trusting God is almost a humane sin, you know. that's wrong. You have to do it. So God teaches us in his word to go after him with all your heart, with all your mind.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Our way to God, for God is love. Love is our way to God, for God is.